It's Basketball Camp with Rick Camp.
Welcome into another edition of Basketball Camp. I'm Rick Camp. Thank you for being here with me, as always. We finally had actual NBA basketball, so we're going to recap it here. That's my goal, to be recapping games with you most mornings, so I don't want to waste too much time. I want to remind everybody, follow me on Twitter at Rick C. Camp. Email the podcast, basketballcamppod@gmail.com, for any questions, concerns, topics you may want to hear about, and make sure to subscribe, rate, and review the podcast. This past week, there's been actually a decent amount of reviews coming in, so thank you for those. I greatly appreciate it. Also, check out our sponsors, Dr. Squatch and Manscaped, who you'll hear about a little bit later. All right, let's get into it. The first game of the restart, Utah 106, New Orleans 104. Rudy Gobert was pretty much the story of this game. He had the first basket of the restart, and then down the stretch when the game was tied, Donovan Mitchell, after an offensive rebound, gave the Jazz a second possession. Drives down the lane, hits Gobert, who's in the dunker spot, goes up, gets fouled, hits two free throws to give Utah the lead, and then Brandon Ingram came down, and it looked like he missed a pretty open J.J. Redick, who had himself a nice game for an open shot, but Brandon Ingram took the three himself and missed at the buzzer, so Utah gets the two-point win. Now, New Orleans actually had a double-digit halftime lead, but as I mentioned before, Rudy Gobert was the star for Utah because in the second half, Utah only allowed 44 points. When Rudy Gobert was in the game, the defensive rating for the Jazz, so points given up per 100 possessions, was 86. When he was out of the game, the defensive rating was 140. So Rudy Gobert, you could see in the way the Pelicans were attacking the basket, Gobert was a huge deterrent, and that made a big difference, especially down the stretch. Gobert had 14 points and 12 boards, 5-9 shooting. Jordan Clarkson off the bench led the Jazz in scoring with 23. He was 8-17 from the field, only 1-8 from deep. Also had 5 boards, 3 assists, and 2 steals. But in very Jordan Clarkson fashion, 23 points, but a minus 15. Now, single game plus minus can be kind of wonky, but considering the reputation of Jordan Clarkson, it's just kind of funny. The Jazz had 6 guys in double figures. Donovan Mitchell had 20. He was really good down the stretch. Only 6-14 shooting. And Mike Conley had 20 as well. His floater game was as good as advertised. The thing watching the Jazz play, especially offensively, was that they still really miss Bojan Bogdanović. Obviously, he's out for the entire restart with wrist surgery. There were times the offense, especially in the first half, just really bogged down, and they needed someone else to be able to put the ball on the floor and make a play, and Utah just doesn't have a whole lot of those guys. That's where Bojan Bogdanović came in huge all season for Utah. So not having him, you have guys that honestly aren't the best at putting the ball on the floor, trying to make more plays, or it requires you to keep Jordan Clarkson on the floor longer than you'd probably like to. He had over 32 minutes in this game, and he's just a sieve on the other end of the court, where Bogdanović is a very capable defender. So it was costing Utah one way or another on each side of the court. For New Orleans, we weren't sure if Zion was going to play. He ended up playing 15 minutes. He played at the beginning of each quarter in short spurts. Alvin Gentry said before the game that they were going to play him in short bursts. We just didn't know how they were going to utilize that. And Zion had 13 points, but no rebounds, 1 assist. He was 6-8 from the field, so really efficient offensively. But he had himself a rough game defensively, along with a lot of the Pelicans. It's one part of Zion's game that probably doesn't get enough attention, that he still has a long way to go defensively. I mean, he had guys dribbling around him. There were times where he just lost his man on inbounds plays. Now, listen, the Pelicans as a whole were pretty brutal defensively, especially in the second half. And Zion was only a part of that. Derek Favors, who's supposed to be the veteran that kind of stabilizes the defense, he had a bad game. But Drew Holiday, at least defensively, was absolutely the star for New Orleans. He's still just consistently one of the most underrated players in the game. He hounded Donovan Mitchell and Mike Conley for a while, making their lives difficult. He played 36 minutes, 20 points, 5 boards, 4 assists, 6 turnovers is not great, but 3 steals, shot 9 of 18 from the field, 2 of 5 from deep. Brandon Ingram was fantastic in the first half. He ended up being the leading scorer for New Orleans. 23 points. He had 8 boards. 7 of 20 from the field. He cooled off pretty precipitously in the second half. 2 of 8 from deep. I mentioned before missing the shot at the end of the game. But in the first half, he was aggressive. He was not just settling for mid-range jumpers, which is something even when he's been good, he's done probably a little too much. He was getting to the rim. The thing that concerns me about that is when he was in those really good stretches was when Zion was off the floor. Anybody who's seen New Orleans this year in the 19 games that they have Zion versus when he's not on the floor, it's just two completely different teams. And I wonder if you need Brandon Ingram to be just a little bit more aggressive when Zion's on the floor. Because he looks more or less lost in the minutes when Zion's out there. Because it's not like they operate exactly in the same types of areas. It's just a matter of, I think, Ingram knowing when he should be able to get his chances versus running everything through Zion. Although Zion, 13 points in 15 minutes, offensively, is pretty damn good. Who else was pretty damn good? JJ Redick. He played 26 minutes, had 21 points, 7 of 15 from the field, but 3 of 8 from 3. And he just is a stabilizing guy for that team. I mentioned it before, but I'll say it again. The defense for New Orleans is absolutely problematic. So if they're going to get into a position to get into that 9 seed to take on presumably Memphis for the 8 spot, their defense has to improve. That's on Derek Favors. That's on Lonzo Ball, who had moments of good defense, but then had a lot of lapses and he didn't shoot well at all tonight. 2 of 13 from the field, 0 of 4 from deep. It just wasn't a great game, especially second half from the Pelicans overall. And it's not going to get easier for them as they take on the Clippers on Saturday. Utah's next game is against OKC. The podcast today is brought to you by our friends at Dr. Squatch. Go to drsquatch.com and check out all their premium bar soaps that they have. Listen, I was not a big time bar soap guy, especially like a premium bar soap guy, but man, has Manscaped changed that big time. I use the Cool Fresh Aloe. I love it. My wife even said the next time that I order from Dr. Squatch, which is going to be soon, that she wants to borrow the Cool Fresh Aloe for herself. So go to drsquatch.com, take the Squatch quiz. When you do that, it's like 2 minutes. It tells you what scents profile best for your preferences. And it's not just soaps. I have beard oil. I have cologne. They have hand sanitizer. They have hair products. Oh, and don't forget the soap saver. So go to drsquatch.com, use promo code CAMP, C-A-M-P, to save on your Dr. Squatch order and also help out this podcast. I love the Dr. Squatch line of products. When you smell better, you're more confident, and confidence has always kind of been a thing for me. So having the Cool Fresh Aloe, having the beard oil, the Lakeside Bourbon scent is awesome. I wouldn't be supporting Dr. Squatch if I didn't believe in it. So go to drsquatch.com. Use promo code CAMP, C-A-M-P, to save money for yourself and help out this podcast. The other game on night one, Lakers 103, Clippers 101, in what had everybody feeling like this still needs to be a Western Conference Finals preview. No Lou Williams or Montrezl Harrell for the Clippers. And for the Lakers, LeBron took over in the last couple possessions. Offensively for the Lakers, LeBron on their last possession misses a shot, follows it up, gets his own rebound and puts it right back in to give the Lakers the 2-point lead. And then defensively is where he was even more impressive. Kawhi Leonard gets the ball at the top and LeBron's defense doesn't allow him to get to his spots. So Kawhi backs out and gets the ball to Paul George. So then LeBron actually switches out to Paul George, gives him no space, and forces him to put up a contested off-balance three at the buzzer that didn't have a whole lot of shot to go in. On the game, LeBron only had 16 points. He had a bad shooting night, 6 of 19, 2 of 7 from deep, but he had 11 rebounds, 7 assists, 5 turnovers. But when you're handling the ball that much, that's just going to happen from time to time. Anthony Davis led the Lakers with 34 points, 8 of 19 from the field, 2 of 5 from deep. He had 8 boards, 4 assists. And when it felt like the Lakers were getting bogged down offensively, especially with some of those second units, Anthony Davis was stepping up at the right times to make baskets. The Clippers started the second half on a 14-2 run to give themselves a lead, but Anthony Davis was the one that really led the Lakers back in that third quarter to respond with a run to give themselves a little bit of cushion at that time. And one other thing I noticed involving Anthony Davis is in the first half, he had a couple possessions guarding Kawhi Leonard. And it's interesting to see what was being held back for possible actual playoff matchups, because Anthony Davis on Kawhi Leonard really gave Kawhi some problems, because you can tell Kawhi's used to obviously not having a 7-footer guard him necessarily, especially one with the relative bulk of Anthony Davis. So it really gave him some problems not being able to get into Anthony Davis's chest to create enough room to get his shot off the way he would want. Now, more often than not, it was LeBron guarding Kawhi, and it was definitely a little more even in that regard of who had the better end of that matchup. Other guys for the Lakers, Kyle Kuzma had himself a solid game, 16 points, 7 boards. He was 4 of 8 from the field, 4 of 7 from deep, and got to the line 5 times, which is a nice change for Kyle Kuzma. And Deion Waiters in double figures, 11 points. He was 5 of 10 from the field, 1 of 6 from deep. Had a couple nice drives that actually got people out of their seats. Danny Green needs to play a little bit better if the Lakers are going to get where they want to go in winning the title. He had 6 points, a minus 17. Once again, single game plus minus can be a little wonky. He was 2 of 6 from the field. All of those were 3-pointers. And he wasn't great defensively. Paul George had himself a night as we switch over to the Clippers. Paul George had 30 points. He was 11 of 17 from the field, 6 of 11 from deep, 5 boards, 3 assists, 3 steals. And really, it felt like every time the Clippers needed a bucket, it was coming from Paul George. Kawhi Leonard was getting most of the attention, having LeBron on him. Kawhi had 28, 7 of 16 from the field. He had 4 assists, 3 boards, 2 steals, 2 blocks, just kind of filling out the stat sheet as Kawhi Leonard is wanted to do. And the thing that made me feel positive for the Clippers is the fact that with Lou Williams out, with Montrezl Harrell out, with Patrick Beverley just getting back so he didn't start, Reggie Jackson started and played 34 minutes for the Clippers. And quite frankly, he was bad. 10 points. He was 3 of 10 from the field. 6 rebounds, 4 assists. But he had 4 turnovers. It's just a guy that is your third point guard who was starting. And I just don't think Reggie Jackson's that good anymore, because I don't know that he's willing to accept a role to this point. He's still a guy that wants to get his and get his shots up, and it showed, and he just doesn't have the ability to do it that much anymore, especially when you consider you have Kawhi out there, you have Paul George out there. So in this game that came right down to it at the end, Reggie Jackson played 34 minutes for you when everybody's healthy. He's probably not going to play any minutes, maybe a handful at most if there's foul trouble. And by the way, there was plenty of foul trouble, especially on the Clippers side. The fouls in the first half were constant. You just couldn't get much of a flow to this game. Marcus Morris only played 18 minutes, but he couldn't get it going. He was 0-4 from the field, no points, 3 boards and a dime. Ivica Zubac was in foul trouble all game. He ended up with 4 fouls, but he had 2 points, only 1 of 3 from the field. He played 15 minutes. Joakim Noah got 10 minutes and just kind of did Joakim Noah stuff, at least at this point of his career, setting solid screens, making some nice passes, setting up other guys since he doesn't have as much ability to do stuff for himself anymore. Patrick Beverley did play. He played 16 minutes, had 12 points, 3 of 7 from the field, and 2 of 3 from deep. I actually thought Patrick Patterson played pretty well. 21 minutes for him, only 5 points, 4 boards, a couple assists, but he made both of his shots. One of them was from 3. And at least on the offensive end of the floor, he just helped out a little bit with the spacing. His 3-pointer was when everybody was collapsing to Kawhi and Paul George on the strong side of the court and Patrick Patterson was in the corner all by himself on the weak side. If the Clippers are going to keep some of those defenses honest, they absolutely need guys like Patterson to be able to hit those weak side three-pointers. So I thought that was a positive sign for the Clippers. And just all things considered, with no Lou Williams, no Montrezl Harrell, Reggie Jackson starting, if I was a Clippers fan, I'd be encouraged by how this game ended up going. Being able to keep it close against a Lakers team that off the top was clicking. But then the Clippers slowly but surely kind of taking on Kawhi Leonard's personality. They're not going to rush. They're not going to panic. They're going to do their thing and get back into the game. Had the run to start the third quarter to really keep it close. And then again towards the end of the game to get this thing back to a one possession game. I guess to sum this game up, I want seven of these. I really want seven of these in the Western Conference Finals. The next game for the Lakers is Saturday against the Raptors, and the Clippers on Saturday will take on the New Orleans Pelicans. Support for Basketball Camp is brought to you by Manscaped, who's the best in men's below-the-belt grooming. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. They obsess over their technology developments to provide you the best tools for your grooming experience. I love my Manscaped products, got the perfect package, and it helps me out and makes my life so much easier. Let's start today with the Lawnmower 3.0. So it's got the cutting-edge ceramic blade to reduce those manscaping accidents that we've all had. If you can admit it, it's okay. It's called their advanced skin-safe technology, so those manscaping accidents can finally be a thing of the past. It also comes with an LED light to make sure you can see what you're doing down there, and a 7,000 RPM motor with quiet stroke technology. And I was skeptical hearing, okay, it's going to be real quiet. No, it is actually incredibly quiet, and that's something that I appreciate living in a small place that I don't need to be broadcasting exactly what I'm doing in the bathroom. So go to manscaped.com, use promo code CAMP, C-A-M-P, and get 20% off and free shipping. That's always a place where sometimes they get you to get the Lawnmower 3.0 and the Perfect Package. And on these recap pods, I'll be giving you a different part of the Perfect Package each time to tell you why it's absolutely worth the money. Manscaped.com, promo code CAMP, C-A-M-P, for 20% off and free shipping on your Lawnmower 3.0 and a Perfect Package. Quick two-game slate means a quick two-game podcast here when I'm doing these bubble recaps. So I want to thank you again for listening. Follow me on Twitter at RickCCamp, basketballcamppod@gmail.com for all your inquiries. You can also DM me if you'd rather just do that. My DMs are open. Subscribe, rate, and review the podcast, please. That helps me out greatly. And check out our sponsors, Dr. Squatch and Manscaped. So excited to be able to say that basketball is back. And this is Basketball Camp.